You know, I believe it's a team game. There's a lot of factors that play into everything. I feel like in my situation coming in, whatever's best for the team, I'm going to do and try to contribute in any way I can.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Join the over 1,500 people who have already gotten their season tickets since Johnny Manziel and Justin Gilbert were drafted to the Cleveland Browns last night. And you can do that at the newly renovated First Energy Stadium by visiting clevelandbrowns.com or by calling 440-824-3434 today. And the great people in our ticket department working overtime. They were on SportsCenter this morning. Yeah. It is big business. And now we're joined by the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Jim Donovan. Jim, where are you at right now? What are you thinking?
Absolutely unbelievable. And it couldn't happen to a more deserving fan base,
agreed,
city,
yeah,
and this building. Because let's face it, and I don't like to go back into the dark side of it, but let's face it, those were dark days in January. You know, we were really the bad side of a joke nationally, right, when you talked about football. What's going on in Cleveland? Firing a coach, upheaval in the front office. You know, nothing looked good. Is Alex Mack going to – is he going to leave? Are you going to be able to get any free agents? Who's going to be the coach? Unbelievable. Brilliant how it was done last night. Absolutely brilliant. And I was here the day before when you guys had gone to New York, and we were doing some long-form interviews with both Ray and Mike for our show on leading up to the draft last night, and there was a sense of real calm, mm-hmm, and I'm looking at two guys that are really heading up their first drafts.
Well, you had texted me about that
and
after
did,
you got
yes,
back,
yeah,
and you said, these guys seem really, really calm. It's the eve of the draft, and I think all of us were expecting first-timers to maybe feel a little uncomfortable,
right,
or show that they're sweating a little bit. They didn't do that. And, you know, even today when you talk with them, there's a matter-of-fact attitude and approach to this that I can see. And I think that was the key, Jim, is not only do you go through all this upheaval, because when you go through upheaval, often there's a resonating, a rippling effect of waves still moving, saying, like, wait a minute. All right, they got rid of these other guys.
Right.
Are we next? You're always next in this business, but how soon are we next?
Yeah.
And how much pressure is on? And the way they maneuvered around this draft and doing it as calmly as they seem to do it, my sense of it is they had this figured out. Their plan was well in place, and Ray Farmer reiterated it to me about 20 minutes ago. I think they just trusted their plan.
Yeah, and Nathan, when that deal was announced, I wasn't surprised they moved down because, you know, it had been rumored that everybody up at the top wanted to move if they could move. And when they moved, I went, all right, well, that's interesting that they moved. But what did they get? When that popped up, the definition of that deal, and you get a number one pick and a fourth round pick next year, I just couldn't believe it. I had just never seen anything like that. And of course, you know, and then it plays out that they're able to get the best corner and then get the quarterback. I mean, unbelievable.
At the end of the day, this is a team that got the number one corner on their board, which is clearly what Mike Pettine wanted.
Yeah.
You get the number one quarterback on your board, and as you talked about, the future first. And when I was sitting there, as soon as Bortles went third,
right,
I said, the offer just got better because now Mack and Watkins are on the board at four. People want both of those guys. They're coveted. You're going to be able to get a lot of movement. And when they went back to nine, we had talked about on the preview show,
right,
on WKYC. I said, look for them to move back. I said six potentially with Atlanta,
right,
or nine with Buffalo.
Yeah.
And if they go back, it's either for the quarterback or the cornerback, as Sal Palantonio,
right,
let us know yesterday on CBD. And that's the way that it played out. And it was funny. When they went from nine to eight, I thought that had to mean quarterback in my mind because you wanted to get ahead of Minnesota,
right,
because they were the other team that might take a quarterback there. But really, they were worried that somebody was going to jump them for Gilbert. That's who they wanted. They get him, and then they get to move up. And it is. It's just, in many ways, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, well, Vic, you know, Vic, I want to bring this up historically. When the Browns went that year and they went back up in the first round to get Brady Quinn, mm-hmm, there was a sense of great excitement. I mean, he was a Notre Damer and nationally known kid coming out. So there really was a great sense of excitement here. But I have to tell you, the next year when you went into that draft and you did not have that pick okay? I mean, you know, you talk about buyer's remorse a year after the fact. There really was an empty feeling. You say to yourself, and I remember hearing Thomas Dimitroff from the Atlanta Falcons talking about the year that, I mean, it was great getting Julio Jones, but you really do miss that pick
sure.
the next year when you don't have, and you have to analyze, am I really going to like this when we don't have that pick next year? So it's extraordinary what the Browns were able to do, because they get these players, but they get a first-round pick.
Well, and I think this speaks to a couple of things. One, let's start with Mike Pettine, because he was given full control of the pursuit of this corner. This was Justin Gilbert. This was the only corner he wanted from this draft,
mm-hmm.
and he went into this whole process of personnel, starting with free agency, saying, we've got to have the lockdown guy next to Joe Hayden
yes.
to play the kind of defense I want to play. So that guy wasn't out there in free agency, at least in their opinion, his opinion. So he looked to the draft, tall, 6 foot. The tallest guy with a first-round grade was how it was presented to me in terms of how he evaluated with it, the press man coverage that he can play. And he knew the Bills, okay? He knows those people. He knows Russ Brandon.
True.
He knows Doug Whaley, their general manager. Russ is the effective de facto owner now, with Mary Wilson having taken it after her husband passed. And I'm sorry, the way the Bills operated, I know so many people there very well, this felt like an organization that said, you know what, we want Sammy Watkins, and whatever we give up is another owner's problem, because, and we don't know if we're going to be here next year, because the only thing that's known in Buffalo, honestly, is that whoever's working there now is there for a year, this year,
yeah.
and they don't know what else the future brings. And I think this worked to the Browns' advantage. Mike Pettine, to his credit, knew that.
Yeah. Hey, Nathan, the other thing is that when you look at many, many games the last couple of years, okay, and you would watch the way the Browns would play defensively, and the thing they could not cover up was the other side
right.
of Hayden. And I remember the Dallas game
yeah.
a couple of years ago, a game that the Browns really played very well in and should have won, but Dallas then all of a sudden said, well, we're not even going to throw to the other side on
right.
Hayden. Let's just go to this side. And it got so pathetic at one point, if you remember. The Browns just kept grabbing and taking the 5-yard illegal contact penalty
yeah.
and the automatic first down just to keep minimum yardage, you know, from getting gained on
sure.
them. And it was a glaring problem. And they tried to put a Band-Aid over it for a number of years, but nothing really worked for them. And screen, I think, a big heart, but out of position.
Yeah, and he's going to be able to play his
yes,
natural position now,
good
being
thing
the
for
nickel.
Him, yeah.
It's great for him.
Yes.
And you have exactly what Mike Pettine hopes that he had in New York with Cromartie and Revis. Guys on a defense that allowed Mark Sanchez to go to back-to-back AFC Championship mm-hmm. games, that's what he wanted to go into. And I'll tell you what, I believe this was a plan that was concocted long ago, because we all talked about number two cornerback being the biggest need. Not a sniff in free agency. You didn't hear about the Browns being active players on any of the top corners in free agency.
Right.
I think they wanted Gilbert from day one, and they got Gilbert when it came down to it. In addition, as you keep talking about, because you have to, that number one pick.
And Nathan,
pick.
Keeping the money in mind, too, because when you've got Joe Hayden coming up on a deal, you're not going to get a Darrelle Revis. You don't want to introduce the problem of paying two corners
right.
the highest corner money. So it made perfect sense that get the quality of that position, but pay the rookie price.
And with the rules in the first round, you right. were Gilbert for 5 years.
That's right. And that's it. I was just going to bring that up. Vic, your good friend and serious mate, Pat Kerwin, talks about the new CBA
yeah.
and how you, when you can get these players in the first round, you can really, if they're great, you can control them for up to 7 years, right? Because you
sure.
get the 50-year option. And if they're really great, I mean, you can tag them. Right, a couple of times. I mean, but you have more control over these players. So in a case like if you had a red shirt, a quarterback, and I don't know what the plan is here, but I mean, if you had a red shirt, a quarterback, I mean, if you take them from the second round down, you lose a valuable year,
right.
whereas you gain
right.
it when they're the first round pick.
Of course, you're exactly right with that fifth year option. And I do want to say this, because I think we've gotten this far without even addressing it. Brian Hoyer, I think the way that he has handled this, and I'm seeing the comments that he's making right now as mm-hmm. we're on the air about this, and the fact that he said bring him on when they told him that
right.
Johnny Manziel was coming in, I love that. And I think Brian Hoyer is a quality guy, a quality teammate, and I think he's going to go out there and compete. They're not handing this to Johnny Manziel. That is one thing that's going to be very clear from Coach Pettine and Ray Farmer from day one. But they're going to go compete, and however it shakes out, I think that Brian Hoyer is going to do whatever he can to make this team the best that it can be. And that's a valuable thing.
Great point. And I would also say this. Mike Pettine can't approach it that way. Mike Patton's credibility with this team, which he's still building and earning, and he's done such a good job because you sense a buy-in there. And I'm not going to say everybody's fully bought in already sitting here in May. That doesn't happen for a little while longer, but it's coming along with the interaction they've had. But the handling of this quarterback competition, and that it's presented as a genuine competition, all eyes are on that. Johnny Manziel still comes in as a rookie. Brand or not, he is a rookie, and it can't feel, as much as his swagger and his cockiness and everything will let everyone believe that he owns the place, because that's how he carries it. I felt like he owned Radio City. I felt like he owned Chelsea Park, you know, the piers at the park at Chelsea Piers. Every ground he stands on, he feels like, oh, that's the aura he projects. But that said, you're right. Petten, Nathan, cannot let the team feel that Brian Hoyer suddenly is just yesterday's news, forget about him,
and that's why I wanted to bring it up.
You can't do it.
And let me just say
this.
That
would be a mistake.
And I know everybody is looking at models in the NFL, but I'm going to go out to Seattle and look at the model there, okay? They went out, they paid Matty Flynn a ton of money, brought him in there, drafted Russell Wilson third round. Now this is a different beast. But then Vic and Nathan, they let that thing play out on the practice field, and it became very visible to everybody who was the leader, the best player, who got the team kind of excited and electrified, and it was Wilson. Now, I think this thing is going to have to be played out on the field where it should be.
Exactly.
Where it
should be. And
that's
what it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, they talk about play like a Brown, and one of the things they talk about is competitiveness, relentlessness, and the competition that's going to happen at the quarterback position and every position is going to be exciting. It's going to be a staple of, I think, what Mike Petten wants to bring to bear. I do want to throw this out there, though, now. The first round, home run, but the great news is this gets to continue. The Browns third on the clock today at 35. What direction do you gentlemen think they go with that pick at 35?
I'm thinking offensive tackle makes a lot of sense. They still have to address that position. And I just look at it and believe that they can get away with, you know, they can get away with getting a player. I say get away with, get a player that to me gives them a first round grade because of the, I think, the depth at certain spots. Now, wide receiver would be the natural place that I think people want to see them go. But I look at this draft right now and I still see the need there to enhance or fortify the offensive line. So the place I want to go is probably to UCLA, and I want to get Seafilo. I think he's the right, probably the right fit for that spot at pick, what are we talking?
35.
Pick 35.
Right.
I would like the wide receiver, and I would go with the kid from USC.
Marquise
Lee.
Yeah.
I like the wide receiver as well. And if it was me, I love Allen Robinson. I'd love to see that.
Oh,
I think
very good.
Penn State. In an ideal world here, I think what you need to look at, Suafilo, Joel Biotonio from Nevada. If I butchered his name, I apologize. That lineman, I think those are two people that you could be looking at 35 if they go lineman, because there was a thought those are going to be first-round picks that are not there anymore. And maybe this is a situation where the Browns have an opportunity to either get back into the end of the second round and get that wide receiver, or at 71, one can fall, because the number of receivers that went wasn't what maybe people thought. Latimer didn't go first round as many thought he might have. Jordan Matthews was there, didn't go first round. Marquise Lee didn't go first round. So there's going to be a run here in the second round. There's a good chance a good one gets to 71. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, to me, those are the only two positions. It's either going to be offensive line or receiver.
And Suafilo, I mean, 6'4", 307, he's going to be inside, but he's a big, strong enough guy and versatile, and he could, I think he could play inside or outside.
I like
Vic, I listened to Rick Neuheisel, who recruited him, and he thought that it would be a brilliant pick in the second round. Thought it would be a tremendous valued pick for somebody in the second round to get him.
Yeah,
said he's just a great kid. Well,
and he was thought to go in the first round. He's a mauler, could be very good as a run blocker for this team.
And to fit in, you know, what they're trying to do again with Kyle Shanahan and this scheme, this zone block scheme that is going to, you know, you have to have the right parts to it, the right people to play it. And I think that's hugely important. All right, we're going to have Sal Palantonio join us in a little bit from ESPN. He is embedded here with ESPN. ESPN covering the Browns, and why shouldn't he be? They are the focal point of the National Football
League. He'll probably be here a lot now,
I think he's taking up space. I actually have an extra room.
Yeah, what about that place we used to do the show?
Yeah,
my pad.
That place, that's my home. Jeez, Jimmy, geez.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. That's your humble abode.
Just because you had to walk all over the dog toys and stuff on the floor, my humble abode.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what.
Come on, Mikasa Sukasa.
I can see you and Sal.
Could you hanging out there?
Hanging out there, yeah.
Talking some football?
There you go.
And we also, in hour number two, expect to have, by the way, at 2 p.m., we're going to carry the news conference that will have Johnny Manziel and Justin Gilbert. And then, after that, hopefully soon thereafter, Justin Gilbert comes in the studio, and John Football will make his first appearance here on CBD. This is a fantastic Football Friday. Very exciting day in Berea, as Nathan has said, and we are very excited about it. We believe you should be excited about it, too. Joining us here, 216-578-0850. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. We are driven by Liberty Ford, and this is ESPN 850 WKNR.